Many of you would know our theme for this year. It revolves around learning how to kneel and to sit and to stand, to walk and to run. And during the first part of this year, on Sunday morning and Sunday evenings, I'm going to be preaching about learning how to kneel. Learning how to kneel. And January 5th, I did that on the Sunday night. And last week, both the morning and evening messages had to do with kneeling. Last Sunday night, we preached about kneeling with confidence and having confidence when we pray and so on. And this morning and again tonight, I'm going to preach on kneeling. The title of the message this morning is Kneeling to the Omnipotent One. Kneeling to the Omnipotent One. And tonight I'm going to preach to you on kneeling, our only hope for revival. And I sure would love for you to join us tonight. I believe it's an important message and would encourage you to be in your place at 6 o'clock tonight for our service. This morning I want to preach to you on kneeling to the Omnipotent One. We'll read some verses in just a moment, but before we do that, let me have a word of prayer with you. Dear Heavenly Father, I ask you now please to speak to our hearts. Holy Spirit of God, I ask you to help me. Fill me with your power. Help me to say the things that you'd want me to say this morning. If there's something I prepared to say that I should not say, then keep me from it. And speak to me exactly what you would want me to say, what you'd want me to share. Lord, I want you to help me. I want you to help each one of us this morning to be drawn closer to you, to have a greater faith in you, to learn how to kneel to you and bow the knee to you. God, help us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. The book of Exodus, God has chosen Moses to lead his people and to bring them out of bondage in Egypt. And God sends Moses before the king, or before the Pharaoh of Egypt, to tell them, to tell him, that the Lord wants him to let the Hebrew people go. They'd been in They'd been in slavery. They'd been in bondage for over 400 years, and God wanted to bring them out of there. But Pharaoh doesn't listen. We talked about this morning, actually, in our Sunday school lesson. And Pharaoh doesn't listen. Instead, he actually increases the cruelty and increases the workload of the Hebrew people as slaves in Egypt. And so God gets a little upset about this, and God gets ready to show his mighty power to the Pharaoh, or to the king of Egypt. And so God basically makes a statement, I'll show them my power. I'll show them that I am Jehovah. I'll show them that I am the Omnipotent One. Now, we won't find those exact words, omnipotent one, in our English Bible, but there are some words in the Bible that imply that God is omnipotent. We'll discuss what that means in just a minute. Exodus chapter 6, and let's read here just verses 1 to 3. Exodus chapter 6, verses 1, 2, and 3. Then the Lord said unto Moses, Now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But by my name Jehovah. You see, in your King James Bible, it's all in capitalized. There was a strong emphasis on him being Jehovah, the Almighty God, the Omnipotent God. I was not known to them. Notice what God said in verse number 1. Now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh. Now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh. It's like God was bragging and God was boasting of his strength and power. And it's okay for God to do that. He's God. Nobody else has a right to brag and to boast, but God does. He is God. He is the all-powerful one. And he's boasting of his strength and power. And God, it's like he's saying to Moses and saying to Aaron, you just sit back, boys, and you just watch what I can do. I am Jehovah. They knew me before by the name Lord and God Almighty. Now they're going to know me as Jehovah, the Omnipotent One. Listen, please, if you would. I want you to listen. God has several names that describe his character or describe who he is. Most often he's called Lord. He's called Jehovah. He is God Almighty. He is the Omnipotent One. When you hear a preacher say, God is omnipotent, what does that mean? The word omnipotent is in two parts. The first, the word omni means all, and the word potent, omnipotent. Omni means all, the word potent means power. And so when you think of omnipotent, it means all power, that God has all power. The Lord is the omnipotent one. Turn with me now back, if you would, to Genesis chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17, and this is where we're going to stay this morning for a story that we're going to look at. Genesis chapter 17, to begin with, I want to read one verse there. The Lord is the omnipotent one. He is the almighty God. He is the almighty, all-sufficient, all-powerful God. Again, in Genesis chapter 17, in verse number 1, the Bible says, and when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the almighty God. I am the almighty God. I am the all-powerful God. I am the omnipotent God. Walk before me and be thou perfect, meaning complete, mature, whole. God comes to Abraham and says, I am the almighty God. I am Jehovah. I am the omnipotent one. Listen, please, okay? Listen. We'll read another chapter in just a minute. And that helps me tremendously. When we read together, let's read together. And when we preach together, let's get in it together. God was going to show his power. God says, I have all power and I'm about to show my power, Abram, in your life. I'm going to show it. God comes to this 99-year-old man with an 89-year-old wife. They were past the age of being able to produce a child, okay? And God says, I'm going to give you a son. I'm going to make you, Abram, the father of a great nation. Let's look here now together. Genesis 17 and verse 1. The Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am the almighty God. Verse 2, and I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee. As we study this story this morning, I want us to see what the Almighty God can do. Again, I said the title of the message this morning is Kneeling to the Omnipotent One, or Kneel to the Omnipotent One. I want you to notice four things this morning about our omnipotent God. First thing I want you to notice is His presence. His presence. And then I want you to notice our service to Him. And then I want you to see, thirdly, His omnipotent power. And number four, our faith in Him. First, this morning we notice the presence of the omnipotent one. Look at Genesis chapter 18. Go over to chapter 18 now, and we'll read verses 1 to 3. As we notice the presence of the omnipotent one. Genesis 18 and verse 1. And the Lord appeared unto him, this being Abraham. The Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door, and bowed himself toward the ground. And said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Number one this morning, we ought to kneel in his presence. We ought to kneel in his presence. When the Lord appeared, Abraham ran to meet him. And this was, of course, very unusual. God didn't do this sort of thing every day. But for some reason, God chose to come down and to appear to Abraham. And he bowed. Abraham ended up bowing to the ground and kneeling in the presence of the Lord. The omnipotent, all-powerful God, the creator of the universe, desires and wants to spend time with each of us personally. What a thought that is. Do you know that the God of the universe wants to spend time with you and with me? He created us and He loves us and He wants us to spend time in His presence. In Psalm chapter 140, verse 13, it says, the upright shall dwell in thy presence. The upright shall dwell in thy presence. We ought to kneel in His presence. We ought to bow down to Him in our hearts and lives. We ought to pray, shouldn't we? We ought to spend time with God. We should ask ourselves this question this morning. Are you and I spending time with God like we ought to? Are we spending time kneeling in His presence? Are we spending time in prayer? Are we spending time just fellowshipping and talking with the Lord like we should? Are we spending time beseeching the Lord and seeking the Lord's help in our lives? Listen, sometimes God's people are guilty of hiding ourselves from the presence of the Lord because of sin in our lives. Sometimes God's people hide themselves from the presence of the Lord because of sin in our lives. You know what? Sin in our lives can give us a guilty conscience and cause us to actually want to flee from the Lord. Adam and Eve are a good illustration of that. When God came to them one morning, listen, in the Garden of Eden, he was used to spending time with them. He was used to spending time with to them spending time in His presence, and He liked that. They had been familiar with talking with Him in the Garden of Eden. But one day they hid from the presence of God, didn't they? They hid from His presence because they had sinned. Can I say to you and I today, let's not dare allow anything in our lives to keep us from the presence of the Lord. Turn with me over to 1 John, if you would. Right near the very end of your Bible, at the very end of the New Testament, 1 John chapter 1. Okay? It won't be the Gospel of John, but the epistles of 1st, 2nd, 3rd John near the very end of your New Testament. I want us to read a few verses here together. 1 John chapter number 1 and verses 1 to 9. 1 John chapter 1 and verses 1 to 9. The Bible says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, it was made known, and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." You notice something? Spending time fellowshipping with God the Father and with God's Son, Jesus Christ, it does bring joy. It does bring great joy. It says, "And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." Verse 5, "This then is the message which we have heard of Him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Sweet fellowship with the Lord, spending time in the presence of God, is truly one of the greatest joys and one of the greatest blessings of the Christian life on this earth. It's a great joy. 1 John would teach us that. Fellowship with the Father, fellowship with the Son, Jesus Christ, brings great joy. But you know what? Too many Christians are missing out on that sweet fellowship with God that He desires with each one of us. But you know what? God makes a great promise in those verses, doesn't He? He says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Even if our fellowship with God, fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ, is not what it ought to be, it can be better. And even if we maybe sometimes want to flee, want to hide from the presence of God because we know there's sin in our life and think, I can't be close to God. I can't fellowship with Him today because of sin in my life. God says, no, I want you to confess that sin. I'll forgive that sin. I want you to come into my presence. I want you to spend time in prayer. I want you to spend time close to me, talking to me. He wants us to be in close fellowship with Him. He wants us to come into His presence, and He doesn't want us to let anything keep that from happening. God desires to spend time with you. He made all of us a unique and individual creation where God desires some fellowship with you personally. Let's kneel in the presence of God. Let's spend time with God each and every day. Number one, we ought to kneel in His presence. We ought to kneel in His presence. Number two, we ought to desire His presence. We ought to desire His presence. Back in Genesis chapter 18 again. Genesis chapter 18, and we'll stay there to learn more of the story. Genesis 18 and verse 2. It said about Abraham that he ran to meet them and bowed himself toward the ground. Verse 3, he said, and said, "My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant." Notice what Abraham was saying to God in verse 3. Don't leave me. I don't want you to pass away from me. I want to spend time in your presence. Don't leave me. Don't go away. I want your presence. I desire your presence. Listen, we ought to desire God's presence in our life so much that we don't ever want to lose it. In Psalm 16:11, the psalmist said to God, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. And at thy right hand are pleasures forevermore." Oh, I wish that every Christian would be able to say that to God and be able to say that about God. "Lord, in your presence is such fullness of joy. At your right hand, Lord, there's pleasures forevermore." Wouldn't it be wonderful if every Christian could say that? Boy, I find so much joy spending time in the presence of God. I find so much joy getting up every morning before going to work and spending time in prayer and spending time in the Word of God and spending time talking to God. Oh, that it would be that the Christian life for more Christians would be exciting and real and a vibrant relationship with the Lord God of heaven. You know what? God desires that. We ought to desire that. Desire to know God in a real and personal way. Desire to talk to Him and spend time with Him and know Him. Do you desire the presence of God in your life? Do you spend time with God in His presence? Are you walking with God, as we would sometimes call it? God wants you to spend time with Him and to enter into His presence. In Genesis 17:1, remember God told Abraham, "Walk before me. Walk before me." You know what? God wanted Abraham to walk with Him, to spend time in His presence, to fellowship closely with Him. God wants every one of us to walk with Him and to talk with Him, to communicate with Him each day. How can we communicate with God? You speak to Him by spending time in prayer. If we're going to communicate with God, you speak to Him by spending time in prayer. But communication's not supposed to just be one way, is it? I think, well, I pray, and I pray a lot, and I pray and I ask God for this, and I pray and ask God about this. And I pray and talk. No, God wants you to talk to Him, but He also wants to talk to you. For you to communicate with God, you need to spend time in prayer, yes, but you also need to let Him speak to you by spending time reading His Word. Spending time in the Bible, spending time in the Word of God, reading it and letting God through His Word speak to your heart. As you truly learn to spend time in the presence of Almighty God, as you learn to pray, as you spend time reading God's Word and listening to hear God speak to you through His Word and through His Spirit, you'll discover it is true. There is great pleasure and there is fullness of joy by spending time in the presence of God. Oh, I hope you'll desire that and long for that. Oh, I want to spend time fellowshipping with God. I want to spend time in His presence. I want to communicate with Him. I want to talk to Him in prayer and let God talk to me through His Word. First, this morning, we notice the presence of the Omnipotent One. We ought to kneel in His presence. And number two, we ought to desire His presence. Secondly, this morning, I want you to notice our service to the Omnipotent One. Our service to the Omnipotent One. Number one, we ought to have a heart to serve Him. We ought to have a heart to serve Him. Again, Genesis 18 there. Verse 3, Abraham said, "My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant." He called himself the servant. "Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your hearts after that ye shall pass on. For therefore are ye come to your servant." your servant. And they said, so do as thou hast said. We ought to have a heart to serve him. Abraham said, you've come to your servant. Do you and I somehow think of ourselves as being bigger or more important than God? Or are we willing to just humbly kneel and be his servant? Abraham was willing to do that. God had said, you're going to be somebody. I'm going to make of you a great nation and so on. But here, when the Lord comes and he's in the presence of the Lord, he says, you've come to your servant. You've come to my home and let me serve you now. Let me serve you here. And he began to busy himself about some things to make sure that the Lord was served. Sometimes people have such an attitude of expecting God to serve us. Expecting God. God, you do everything that I ask you to do. God, you're to serve me. God, I want to pull you out of my pocket when I need you. And God, here's my prayer. Serve me. God, answer this prayer. Give me what I want, what I need. We can really sometimes have an attitude of just expecting God to do all the serving. Wait a minute. He's God. We're to be the servants. We ought to serve the Lord. Maybe we should turn things around and ask the Lord, Lord, what can I do for you? Lord, what do you want me to do for you, Lord? God, what do you want out of my life? What do you expect out of my life? Lord, how can I serve you? We ought to have a heart to serve him. And number two, we ought to lead our home to serve him. We ought to lead our home to serve him. Verse number six, and Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah, that's his wife, and said, make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth, the fireplace, and so on. And Abraham ran unto the herd and fetched a calf, tender and good, and gave it unto a young man, and he hasted to dress it. Boy, he got busy with his wife and some others in the house, began to prepare a meal and so on. Verse 8, and he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. I just want you to notice that Abraham's wife also had a heart to serve the Lord. Oh, there was no argument. There was no questions. She just did what Abraham was asking her to do. The Lord God made this supernatural, spectacular visit to their home, and Sarah was happy to prepare a fine meal to serve the Lord and the special guests in their home. You know what? All of us ought to lead our families to faithfully serve the Lord. That as the Abraham said, Lord, you've come to your servant. He was able to rush right to his wife and say, just make this, do this. We've got some company. And she did it. She too had a heart to serve the Lord. Abraham was leading his family to serve the Lord. Number 19 says, the God speaking, for I know him, talking about Abraham, I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, that they shall keep the way of the Lord. Listen, God said, I know Abraham. That's somebody that's leading his family. He's leading his wife. He's leading his children. He's leading his household to serve the Lord and to love the Lord and to follow the Lord. What a great testimony. Let's have a heart to serve him. But let's also lead our family to serve him, lead our home to serve him. All of us ought to lead our families to faithfully serve the Lord as much as we possibly can. First, this morning, we noticed the presence of the Omnipotent One. We ought to kneel in his presence and we ought to desire his presence. Secondly, we noticed our service to the Omnipotent One. We ought to have a heart to serve him and we ought to lead our home to serve him. Third, this morning, I want you to see his omnipotent power. His omnipotent power. Number one, we see the inconceivable promise. The inconceivable promise. Look at Genesis chapter 18 and verse 9. Genesis chapter 18 and verse 9. And they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, 9 months. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. Remember something. They were 99 and 89 years old at this point. He says, your 90-year-old wife is going to be having a child in 9 months from now. Inconceivable. Inconceivable. Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. She wasn't able to have children anymore at this point. Verse 12, therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure in my Lord being dead also? Said, me and my husband, we can't have children. We're old. He's 99 years old. I'm 89 years old. This is inconceivable. There's no possible way. I don't understand this. They were shocked beyond belief when they first heard this promise. Let me tell you something. You'd be shocked too. You'd be shocked too if God came to your grandparents or your parents, or your great-grandparents, and told them, you're going to have a baby. You're going to have a baby in 9 months' time. The promise that the Lord and his angels made to Abraham was inconceivable. The promise just, it seemed unbelievable. It seemed humanly impossible. We see the inconceivable promise. And number two, we see the incredible power. The incredible power. Look at verse 13 and 14. And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Remember, the Lord had already told Abraham back in chapter 17, I'm going to show you the power of Almighty God. And boy, was he ever about to. Is anything too hard for the Lord? No. He's the omnipotent one. He is all powerful. He's all sufficient. He doesn't rely on somebody else for power. He doesn't have to be plugged in to get his power. No, he is the source. He is the power. He's the creator of all things. He's the creator of the universe. He doesn't depend on anything or anyone to sustain him or give him life. He's the creator of life. He's the giver of life. He's the one that holds all things together, the Bible teaches us, the book of Colossians. Let me show you a passage of Scripture, Jeremiah chapter number 32. Jeremiah chapter 32 and verse 17. Oh, you'll like these verses. Jeremiah chapter 32 and verses 17 to 22. Look there with me if you can. We saw the inconceivable promise, and secondly, we see the incredible power. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Jeremiah 32 verse 17 says this. Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Now, there is nothing too hard for thee. Verse 18, thou showest loving kindness unto thousands and recompensest the iniquity of the fathers into the bosom of the children after them. The great, the mighty God, the Lord of hosts is his name. Great in counsel and mighty in work. For thine eyes are open upon all the ways of the sons of men, to give every one according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings, which has set signs and wonders in the land of Egypt even unto this day, and in Israel and among other men, and has made thee a name as at this day, and has brought forth thy people Israel out of the land of Egypt with signs and with wonders, and with a strong hand, and with a stretched out arm, and with great terror. And hast given them this land which thou didst swear, did promise to their fathers to give them, a land flowing with milk and honey. Listen, God's power has done so much. God's power created this universe. God's power created man. God's power delivered his people out of bondage and slavery in Egypt. And share some of those things. Listen, is anything too hard for the Lord? God says, no, there's nothing too hard. There's nothing too hard. Verse 26 says, then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Now he wanted Jeremiah to answer it for himself. No, God, there's nothing too hard for thee. I know what you've done. I've seen your power. I know what you've done for our people. There's nothing, God. There's nothing too hard for thee. God is omnipotent. He's all-powerful. He has done so much for his people since the beginning of creation, and he still is doing so today. Sadly, we sometimes do not recognize God's incredible power because we have become so self-sufficient. Much like the children of Israel, we can't get into all of it, but how the children of Israel soon began to forget all that God had done for them. and began to rely upon themselves and think about themselves, and they forgot about all the good things that God had done. May God help us to see the Almighty, Omnipotent God and teach us to trust in Him and beseech Him and seek His help in our lives. First, this morning, we noticed the presence of the Omnipotent One. We said we ought to kneel in His presence and we ought to desire His presence. Secondly, we noticed our service to the Omnipotent One. We ought to have a heart to serve Him, and we ought to lead our home to serve Him. Thirdly, we noticed His omnipotent power. We saw the inconceivable promise and His incredible power. And fourth, this morning, I want you to notice our faith in the Omnipotent One. Turn with me, if you would, over to the book of Hebrews. In the New Testament, the book of Hebrews, chapter number 4. I want you to notice our faith in the Omnipotent One. Two statements again that I want to make here. Number one, faith believes the promises of God's Word. Faith believes the promises of God's Word. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 1, it says, "Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." The word preached, the gospel preached and so on, did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Listen, God's word is powerful, and God's promises are true. We understand that it's talking about certain things in this verse, but even January 1st, the first Sunday of the year, we talked about something in relation to this verse, how for salvation we are to sit and we're to enter into His rest. There's nothing that we do to work our way to heaven or to earn our way to heaven. We sit, we trust instead in God and God's work, what God did. When God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for us, that was to make a way of salvation. That was to pay the penalty for all of our sins so we could be redeemed, we could be forgiven, we could be children of God and have a home in heaven. For us to be saved, we're to rest in God's work, what He did. Cease from our own works, the Bible teaches, and trust in His work and what He did. Now, the gospel can be preached, the truth of that. The word of God can be preached. It can be preached in this auditorium this morning. It can be preached in other places. The word of God can be proclaimed. It can be preached. But listen, the promises of God, they don't accomplish anything in that person's life unless they're mixed with faith in the hearts of those people that sit and listen to it. Unless that's mixed with faith in the hearts of those that are hearing it. Listen, the word of God can be preached and we can have God's promise that you can be saved. You can become a child of God. You can have a home in heaven because of the gospel. Because of what Jesus Christ has done for you. He's done it for the whole world and He died for you to be saved. But you must place your faith in Jesus Christ to be saved. That's your decision. So listen, the gospel can be preached, the word of God can be preached, the truth can be proclaimed, the promises of God can be true for every person. But the promises of God are activated by people's faith. You must put your faith in God's word. You must put your faith in God's promises. Faith believes the promises of God's word. Faith believes the promises of God's word. For God to do all the things that He wants to do in your life, listen, you must have faith in Him. You must put your faith in His Word. You must put your faith in His promises. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6 says this. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is..." You must believe, must have faith, believe that He is, that He exists and so on, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Listen, we must have faith. faith believes the promises of God. Faith believes the promises of God's word. You miss out on the promises of God if you won't trust Him and take Him at His word. A person can miss out on salvation. It talked there in Hebrews chapter 4, some falling short. Some of the Hebrews, some of the Jewish people falling short of it. Why? Because they were not willing to enter into God's rest that He had provided. I mean, Jewish people who, because they wouldn't accept Jesus Christ as their Messiah, and because they felt like, no, we've got to keep our tradition, and we've got to keep our religion, and we've got to continue on with our works, said they are going to fall short. Some of them are falling short of entering into God's rest. Why? Because they won't just put their faith in the Messiah that I've sent. They won't recognize that Christ, who I've sent, my Son, He's their Messiah. He's their Redeemer. He's the Lamb of God that has been given to take away their sins. Do you understand? People can miss out. When God has given us His word, He's given us His promises, He's given the Savior, but people miss out if they won't put their faith in Jesus. Oh, don't miss out on the promises of God. Faith is needed for salvation. People can miss out on answered prayers. We miss out on the promises of God if we won't trust Him and take Him at His word. We can miss out on answered prayers. We can miss out on God's blessings in our life if we won't exercise faith. Faith believes the promises of God's word. And secondly, faith activates the power of Almighty God. I said first, faith believes the promises of God's word. And secondly, faith activates the power of Almighty God. Faith is what activates the power of Almighty God. Listen, there was power in this building to give us light today in this room. But earlier this morning, somebody had to come into this room and they had to flick those light switches over there to activate all the power that's running through the wires in the walls of this building. Now, the power was there and available to produce light here, but somebody had to flick that light switch over there to activate the power. And faith is what activates the power of Almighty God in your life. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 11, we see what Abraham and Sarah did. We can read back, and of course, we understand Sarah's initial reaction was just like any of us would be. What in the world? I'm going to have a son? Can't have a son anymore. That was the initial reaction in her heart. That she laughed. This is inconceivable. Humanly impossible. But obviously, between there and those next few verses, she decided instead, I'll trust God. I'll believe His promises. And we could read the story in Genesis 18, and Hebrews 11 tells us about that. I've said before sometimes in our church, faith is believing and doubting, but acting on our belief. Do you know that even in faith, we may have some doubts that I just don't understand it? Yeah. Faith is believing and still having some doubts, but deciding, instead, I'm going to act on my faith. I'm going to act on my faith. I'm going to choose to believe, and I'm going to act on that. Believing and maybe some doubting, but acting on our belief. That's what faith does. It acts on the belief. Faith activates the power of Almighty God. Hebrews 11:11, through faith. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age. Because, look what it says, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Remember I said faith believes the promises of God's word? She judged him faithful. She may have in her mind thought, this makes no sense to me. This is inconceivable. As a 90-year-old woman, am I going to be able to have a child? But she chose to judge him faithful who was making the promise. Okay, it's the Lord that's making this promise. I may not understand how this miracle could take place, but I know the Lord is faithful. I know the Lord's word is always true. I know that God always keeps His promises. And she judged Him faithful. The one who was making the promise. The Lord God Almighty. The Omnipotent One. And so in faith she trusted and believed God. And God did do a miracle really in giving her and Abraham a son. Faith is what activates the power of Almighty God. May God help us to have faith. God, help us to believe His promises. God, help us to obey His word. God, help us to exercise our faith in Him. God, help us to kneel to the Omnipotent One in our life. Kneel to Him. Be willing to trust Him. Be willing to have faith in Him and exercise our faith in Him for salvation first, but even beyond that, in our daily life. Faith to pray. Faith to say, I'm going to seize God's promises. I'm claiming God's promises. I need God to answer my prayers. I need God's blessing in my life. Will you have a faith that believes and trusts God and obeys God to see what God can do in your life? To see His power. The power of the Omnipotent One, the Almighty One. I said this morning, we ought to kneel in His presence and we ought to desire His presence. Listen, I hope there's a yearning within your heart that says, boy, I want to spend more time with God. I want to communicate with my God. I want to bow in His presence. I want to bow the knee. I want to learn to walk with God and talk with God and spend time in His word and spend time in prayer and know that I've been in fellowship with God. I want that, what the psalmist could talk about, what 1 John could talk about. I want that fullness of joy that comes from fellowshipping closely with the Lord. Let's learn to kneel in His presence, desire His presence. Let's serve the Lord. Let's have a heart to serve Him and lead our family to serve Him. Let's recognize His incredible power and keep our faith in Him. Believe His promises. Believe the promises of God's word. Faith will help you to activate the power of Almighty God. Will you live that kind of life by faith? By faith, let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father,